33. At 5:30 that morning, still at his work desk within his own Connaught, Don Packard, the chief kochman from Division 17 of New York City, dictated with microphone in hand the memoranda which would comprise the documents served during the now beginning day of ordinary normal men and women. With regard to the conspiracy composed of the six recently added concomitants to the UN-W NATSEC board, he declared into the mic and paused briefly for a sip of coffee. That conspiratorial organization no longer exists. Its five members have been barbarously exterminated by the leader, S.G. Phebs. Phebs himself is now in a state of permanently induced psychotic withdrawal. Although this was the information which the client, General George Nitz, wanted, it did not seem sufficient. So, Don Packard amplified. At 11 o'clock a.m. yesterday, May 12, 2004, as revealed by Koch's several monitoring devices, the conspirators met in subsurface Connaught 2A of Festung, Washington, D.C., building 507-969-584. This was their fourth meeting, but the first and only time each of the concomitants brought with him, her, the component from weapon item 401. I will not list the names of the six conspirators, inasmuch as their names are already known to the board. Reassembly of weapon item 401, which is the first non-B weapon of the new variant line, was begun by S.G. Phebs, utilizing essential precision tools purchased at enormous cost. While reassembling the weapon, item 401, S.G. Phebs outlined to his fellow conspirators the political and economic basis of the radical new system which he proposed to erect in place of the old, including the assassinations of well-known public figures. Pausing once more, Don Packard sipped more coffee, then resumed his dictation, which, as he spoke it, was being autonomically transcribed into written document form by the apparatus before him. At 4 p.m., an ordinary stamp mail robot delivered a plain-wrapped registered parcel to apartment 28 of Connaught Building 507-969-584. S.G. Phebs accepted the parcel and, without opening it, resumed his reassembling of the weapon. When the reassembly was completed, S.G. Phebs, as I have already stated, supra, exterminated these five co-conspirators, leaving only himself in possession of a now-proven working model of weapon 401, the sole working model known to exist. Again, Don Packard paused for more coffee. He was tired, but his job was almost over. Then he would carry a copy of the document now being dictated to General Nitz. It was all routine. Packard wound up. S.G. Phebs fell victim to the empathic, telepathic, whatever it's called, maze, and shortly succumbed, in fact in record time, beating the smallest period established by voluntary prisoners from the West Block Federal Pen on Callisto. S.G. Phebs, he declared into the mic in conclusion, is now at Wallingford Clinic, where he will remain indefinitely. However, at this point he broke off dictation and stared thoughtfully at his coffee cup. Since General Nitz was his client in this matter, Don Packard concluded his report with a footnote of his observations. It would seem, he began thoughtfully, that since, due to the recent emergency, Vincent Klug now has continual legal access to the uniquely enormous AutoFact network of Lanferman Associates of California, and can run off in any quantity he wishes these damn mazes, altered from the original weapon which was so effective against the aliens from Sirius, it might well be expedient to serve on Vincent Klug the instrument which has aided the board so greatly in the past, an honorary but absolutely legally binding commission in the West Block Armed Forces. Thus, should the need ever arrive, he paused once more, but this time not voluntarily. The doorbell of his high-rent, high-rise, unlisted Connaught had incredibly rung, and at not quite 6 a.m. Weird hour. Well, it undoubtedly was a messenger from the board, anxious to receive his report on the conspiracy of the six concomitants. It was not, however, a military aide who faced him. In the hall stood a spick-and-span new, shiny stamp mail delivery robot, with an ordinary wrapped brown paper parcel under its arm. "Mr. Don Packard, I have a registered parcel for you." "What the hell is it now?" Packard asked himself irritably, just when at last he was about to knock off for the night and get some rest. "Sign here," the stant mail robot said. "If you are Mr. Packard, or if not Mr. Packard, then on line 2 instead." It presented a form, pen, and flat surface of itself on which to jot. Bleary-eyed, witless from a long night of ceaseless heavy workload in which a good deal had happened, Don Packard of the private police agency Koch signed for and accepted the parcel. "More monitoring or recording equipment, I suppose," he said to himself. "They're always improving these irritating technological contraptions which we have to lug around." He carried the parcel grumpily back to his desk and opened it. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The Zap Gun by Philip K. Dick. Copyright 1965 by Galaxy Publishing Corporation. Copyright renewed 1993 by Laura Coelho, Christopher Dick, and Isa Hackett. Performed by Mel Foster. Directed by Colleen Willits. Engineered by Matt Churchill. Performance copyright 2012 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.